Where do I belong? It's a question that many immigrants face, and it's at the heart of author Kirsten Chen's debut novel. In Soy Sauce for Beginners, narrator Gretchen Lin is the daughter of a family that's made artisanal soy sauce in Singapore for decades. However, she left the family business to make a life for herself in San Francisco. But as the book begins, Gretchen has returned to Singapore. The family business is in crisis. Her cousin and her father are butting heads over quality control, as well as plans to expand into the American market. Gretchen also has to deal with her mother's escalated drinking problem and the failure of her marriage to a man back in California. All this leads again to that question, where do I belong? Well, the answer, of course, is never simple. And as Gretchen's story unfolds, we also get a fascinating peek into Singapore's food culture and where soy sauce can be tasted like fine wine. Author Kirsten Chen joins us in the studio to talk about her novel, Soy Sauce for Beginners. Kirsten, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, let me ask you, like your narrator, you were born in Singapore.
Correct.
But you came to the United States for boarding school and college.
Correct.
What was that transition like for you, first of all?
Oh, actually, that's funny. I expected you to go a completely different direction because I get the question, you know, about the autobiographical details in the book. But for me, I think it was probably a little bit easier than it would have been for a lot of students that had come from Asia. Singapore is or was a British colony, and so English is the official language. And so everybody more or less grows up speaking English. And so I had that part. There wasn't a language barrier. That being said, a boarding school in New Hampshire is a very specific and kind of strange place. But what the sense that I got was that it was even strange for people who had come from small towns in Connecticut.
But if I may, they weren't necessarily serving artisanal soy sauce at your boarding school, right? Because I ask that because food is so grounded in the culture that it emerges from that that's oftentimes the first thing that people miss when they move somewhere new. Did you?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, boarding schools, I've heard that the standard of food has improved over the years, but, you know, they're not known for high cuisine or anything like that. So, yeah, that was definitely one of the big things I missed. And actually, you know, one of the huge things I missed was just living in a city because Singapore is extremely urban, extremely dense. You know, the city center was a 10-minute drive away from where my family lived. And I really missed buildings and sort of lights at night. And the quiet and the ruralness of New Hampshire was actually very hard to get used to.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Singapore because it does have a very distinctive culture. You touched upon certain aspects of it already. But I believe right near the beginning of the book, you talk about Singlish, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that.
Singlish is often mistaken for broken English, and it actually is a language in its own right. I think it's technically a derivative of the English language, and it's mixed with Chinese and Malay and Tamil, which are the three main second languages spoken in Singapore. And so it gives it a very interesting syntax, and it's just a really concise language that I appreciate very much. And one of the challenges of incorporating Singlish into the book was firstly that I wanted it to be clear that this wasn't people speaking broken English. And also I didn't want it to read as a joke because I think that in the West, at times an accent is used as a stand-in for like a signal for humor or like an easy joke. I wanted it to be clear that this was a language and that this was just the way that people spoke.
Well, Kirsten, for people who don't actually know what Singlish sounds like, what does it sound like?
Okay, so I've been thinking of examples, and this is one that I really love, is there's a big food blog in Singapore, and it's called Hungry Go Where? With a question mark. And that, to me, encapsulates the beauty of Singlish, because it's brief, it's musical. The standard English equivalent would be, if you were hungry, where would you go? And in Singlish, you would just say, hungry, go where?
Yeah. Well, the book is called Soy Sauce for Beginners, so I want to talk a little bit about the food culture in Singapore. It's got a very defined and quite vibrant food culture there.
Much like Singlish, actually, the food culture is often referred to as the first fusion culture because the main races in Singapore are Chinese, Malay, and then Southern Indians. So the local cuisine is really a mix of those three things. And then the other thing about it is that there's a big hawker culture. And so hawker centers are these giant food courts that are found all over the city. And everything is incredibly cheap. So you can get a bowl of noodles for maybe $3 or $4. And it's just a thing that people are really passionate about. There are multiple blogs and websites dedicated to finding the best hawker centers all over the city, and people debate these things passionately. You know, in Singapore, we don't have any sports teams or anything like that. And so I think that the food culture has kind of become a stand-in for all of the things that other people in other countries argue about.
Well, so let's talk for a moment about artisanal soy sauce. Mm-hmm. What was it about artisanal soy sauce that you felt deserved to be the focus of at the heart of a novel?
I picked soy sauce simply because I felt like it was ubiquitous in Asia, and I had no idea, you know, of any of the complexity of the product until I started doing research. And that's when I discovered that the soy sauce that we see in grocery stores is so different from the stuff that's been made in Asia at these traditional breweries for generations and generations. And the more research I did, the more interesting it got. And I would talk to people about it. Nobody knew that artisanal soy sauce existed. And that's how I figured out that, okay, this is something, well, firstly, it's something that captivates people. But then it did grow. I think that the struggles that the soy sauce factory faces in the book in many ways mirror the main character's struggles, and so I think that it grew into an integral part of the novel.
One of the things that I wondered about as I was reading it was, for example, my parents are immigrants from India, mm-hmm. and you know, they came ages ago, mm-hmm. decades and decades ago, and one thing that my mom frequently tells me is, back then, when you came to America, you really did come. First of all, it was physically hard to get back to your home country.
I mean, you know, you couldn't even make a phone call.
Right, you couldn't make a phone call. You might take an annual trip. You wrote letters on those blue aerograms.
Right,
but now she says that she gets this feeling, and this is all for the better, that Asian immigrants, for example, and South Asian immigrants, there's a more fluidity.
Absolutely.
Between being in the United States and being in their home country through technology and travel and things like that.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that this generation of, you know, immigrants from India and immigrants from China, I mean, just because the economies are so robust, there's so much opportunity to go home and find a job. And there's so much opportunity for, you know, American-born young people to go out to China and India to find jobs. You know, I have friends who have moved out to Beijing and Shanghai. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people of my generation, we don't think of the old country and the new country, because at any time you could get a job and be transferred to India, or you could get a job and be transferred to China. Mm. It is a very different mindset.
But nevertheless, I mean, part of what brings Gretchen back home to Singapore is family.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother needs her. The family business is in crisis.
Yep.
And she's still very much trying to find her sense of self, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her way in the world.
Yeah. And I think that that's actually like one of the things about Singapore that I wanted to capture, was how it's often described as the most westernized country in Asia. And yet these so-called traditional values are still very, very strong. Young people really value living close to their parents and raising their children next, you know, with their grandparents in the next room or in the next, you know, the house down the street. And those values are still very much alive.
Mm.
But it is a little complicated because so many of us leave during our, you know, early 20s or our late teens. So the decision to come back is fraught because of that.
So how much of your life does mirror Gretchen's life?
You know, I think that what's at the heart of Gretchen's life is definitely very autobiographical, and that's why I wanted to write the novel in the first place. So I wanted to write about a young woman who believed that she had built a life away from her home and then is forced to return. And that, I think, to me is something that I think about a lot, because I've built a life away from Singapore. Although I have to say I don't have the same kind of I actually would be very happy living in Singapore, I think. And I consider it often. And so, again, there's that fluidity that I think is a privilege that many people of our generation have.
Kirsten Chen's new novel is Soy Sauce for Beginners, and it is a wonderful read. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much. Those were great questions.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art, presenting Bill T. Jones in Storytime, a new dance work inspired by John Cage, February 21st through 23rd, icaboston.org.